May 6, 2015, regular town board meeting.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of vouchers as general fund of $47,707 to $47,736, and of the ambulance fund, $1,625 to $1,627.
I'll make the approval for such vouchers.
Second.
That's those here.
Yep, you've signed off.
Yep. Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of the minutes of the March 22nd, 2015 regular meeting.
I read them. They seem pretty thorough. I'll make approval. Motion for approval.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Treasurer's report.
Nothing too much happening. We did get an ACH deposit of $78,242.56 for state aids. And business is starting to pick up at the transfer station now. For the first time this week, we were over $1,000. Change from the 300 during the winter time. Yep, so.
You can tell people are here.
Yep, they are. And in fact, the $2 lady is back.
Brings $2 bill in?
$2 bill, every time, yeah. And so she's been gone all winter long, but now she's back. So we're getting $2 bills again. So in the town accounts, totally, we have $847,285.59. And in the ambulance account, we have $392,426.70.
I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
There's a question on the floor.
Yes, sir.
I have a question on the treasurer's report.
Yep.
At the annual meeting, I brought up how much money the town had in CDs.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't able to divulge that, but you could divulge it at a regular town board meeting.
Would you like my copy?
You can have a copy of it.
Wait, he's asking about the
CDs.
Yeah.
The CDs, the interest on them. The CDs are on there. We don't get interest posted until they mature.
I'm not interested.
No, he just wants to know how much is in CDs.
What's in CDs?
Oh, yeah, what's in CDs? Oh, okay.
If you want to read those for him.
Sure.
It's all there.
On the regular town, we have a CD. They're both at People's State Bank now. One at $99,463.21, and that one is maturing next month on June 30th. And then we have $57,019.90. That's maturing in August. And then for the ambulance, we have $57,342.31, and that is maturing in December of this year. So the interest, you know, it's negligible, 0.4%.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Item number 8, first reading ordinance 15-01, all-terrain vehicle, ATV, and utility terrain vehicle, UTV, route ordinance. You have a copy of the revised, updated ordinance with the new dates. And we're going in order from last meeting where we were presented with their new routes. Any questions or comments from the board? Chuck.
Pardon me?
You got a question or comment?
Well, I'm looking at, I was concerned about county roads, obviously.
Yeah,
I know, but if I'm reading this right, it's county F.
Correct.
From 47 to 70 West.
Correct.
It's county D from Wild, I'm not sure.
Well, Wild Rice is actually the street that's downtown by the fire station.
Oh, okay.
The one that goes around.
That goes around by the flame.
All right.
That's Wild Rice. So it goes from the fire station to Old Indian Village Road.
Right.
So going south.
Going south. And then the only one up on, if you want to look at north.
North is H.
Is H from Pope's or Gresham.
Gresham Road to East Boundary. Correct. And those actually are under the jurisdiction of the county. The county has to approve those. They listed them in their routes that they're planning to use or would like to use.
Yeah.
But that's under the county's jurisdiction. The full county board has to approve those.
Well, I would think if the town board approves it, the county can...
You never know. The county's its own...
They didn't last year.
Yeah, they didn't last time.
Didn't we have a referendum on this a couple of years ago? And the referendum was defeated closely.
Closely, yeah. It was a non-binding referendum. It was close. And so, but yeah, the county roads are up to the county.
They're only here because they're part of the trail system as a whole that is being proposed for Lac du Flambeau, so...
Okay, as far as, I guess, where I'm involved in it, whether it's on Gresham Road, and Gresham goes basically from H all the way over to 51.
But
that's most of that, well, a lot of it is dirt.
Well, it's arborvitae too.
It's not us.
When you go down Gresham Road off of H and it's chip seal,
yep.
It's hard surface.
Yep.
When you hit the gravel,
yep.
That's the town of arborvitae.
Oh,
okay. And that's
so where are they going to go?
That's the town of arborvitae.
Then they'll have to get approval from arborvitae to travel that to Pope's. Okay.
We were told that gravel section was state-owned property.
I don't know. It's in arborvitae.
Yeah. We were told that was state-owned property.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Since it's outside of Lac du Flambeau, we don't really have anything to do with it. But I know that, that, as far as I know, is a town road in arborvitae. They maintain it.
So you're saying that there's going to be possible ATV traffic on all of County D,
No, not all of D.
No.
It would be all of F from 47 to 70. D from town to Indian Village. And then, it's about a mile and a half or so, and then H from east boundary to Gresham.
Where do they go on east boundary?
That comes back down onto, hits 47.
Yeah, but
how can we?
Now
be
that's all Flambeau, right?
Yes.
So what happens when they get to 47?
Well, then they're proposing to take the railroad grade, which they have to deal with the DOT on,
yeah.
Or they take F to 70.
How can we be assured that this wouldn't expand? Once you pass something like this, I mean, you're basically designating this, but how could we as taxpayers be assured that this wouldn't expand out and that we wouldn't have ATV traffic, where not only here but also.
I guess there wouldn't be any assurance that we could give the clubs or the people who are involved come to the town board, ask for certain roads and routes to be opened, or they may ask that certain ones be dropped if they're not using them or they're no longer needed. That's why we have the sunset clause in here, where after a year this ordinance would then go away unless it's readopted and revised with whatever routes that may come up.
If after a year, are you going to put this up for a vote with the taxpayers to see what the taxpayers feel about this?
Isn't just the taxpayers, it would be the whole community.
Yeah, we have an entire community. That's, we're probably, I don't know the exact numbers, if it's 50-50, 40-60 of summer residents.
That's when you'd see what it is.
Yeah. Well, and if you put it up for a vote, your summer residents don't have the ability to vote here. It's just your full-time residents.
I think what we're telling you is the board is the one that is really going to look at this. We're going to monitor it very closely, and we're hoping that they are able to expand to the point where they will be able to get their routes off of the road onto trails. It's just hard to start out. So hopefully, the snowmobile club struggled really hard in the beginning. What we're hoping is we're actually looking to benefit Lac du Flambeau by bringing commerce here, and that's the avenue we're looking at. So if we have no issues, if there's, you know, not, you know, a tremendous amount of conflict or citations or destruction, I think that this, I can't speak on behalf of the rest of the board, but I think we're looking to promote such activity, not to discourage it.
Well, as far as commerce goes, I don't know. What kind of commerce do you think it's going to help?
That is why we're doing this for a year. I think we at least owe it to allow this to happen for a year. It's not going to turn the lights out and lack the flambeau if it's a big flop. I'm hoping that it works in a positive manner.
You have to look at snowmobiling back in the 60s and 70s when it first started. Yeah, and we're hoping too and planning that ATVs will also. I mean, I know a lot of snowmobiles that don't stay on the trails, and there aren't any police in here. And when I used to ride one, I didn't always stay on the trails either. I know. But we're hoping that it's, you know, done in an orderly fashion, in a safe fashion, that it will help, you know, promote the businesses in the area. Before snowmobiling started here, you may as well roll up the sidewalks and shut the lights off for the winter. There was nothing. My folks were in business at the time, and it helped tremendously. They were in the restaurant tavern business, and it really, really made a difference. We're hoping that now with ATVs, we can have a summertime, year-round type trade that you see in all the other communities around us. You see it in Monaco, you see it in Mercer, Iron County, Price County, Oneida County. It has helped. So we're hoping and planning on this being orderly, safe, and benefit everybody.
I think another point is that we're hoping that it will work out to an advantage where people aren't hating it. I mean, I don't feel that you can really not do something because there might be an accident or there might be a problem. If that were the case, we wouldn't have automobiles, we wouldn't have boats, we wouldn't have snowmobiles, bicycles. I mean, you kind of have to be proactive.
I understand, but I think people are, you know, they're worried about noise.
Oh, I can
and
understand.
Property infringement. I think one thing that has not been brought up is the possibility of crime because of accessibility. That has not been discussed at all regarding ATVs. And it does happen, and it happens in other communities. And it is a concern, the noise and the property infringement. Those are my two concerns.
And those are the things that we'll be keeping track of throughout the year.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I live on Moss Lake Road. Just last night, we had a breakdown of a ATV in front of our house. The other day, we had racing down the road, probably 60 miles an hour, two guys. I called the police and got no response. Our road is not posted for regular driving, which my wife was trying to get done years ago, and we gave up. And our neighbors are thoroughly against, and they're not here now, but they're all thoroughly against the most of the road, not to have any. We have these snowmobiles. It's a little different situation with them because the road is plowed almost bare all the time, and they have to ride the mountains around the road, and they don't go that fast. Once in a while. But the ATVs, when they come out, we've got a couple neighbors that have them. We got it from the other side of town to come across, and they cross Moss Lake Road over to D&E in the town. And they're illegal right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have posted roads. And I don't know if they're going to be posted or not, but we need a road posted for regular driving.
The intention of the club is to, they're going to be posting speed limits?
I'm also talking about regular cars.
Yeah.
We don't have any yet. We don't know what it is.
Well, he's questioning the speed limit
for cars,
speed
yeah.
Limit.
And that's an ordinance.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different thing that's actually not on our agenda, but I'd be more than happy to bring that up at a later agenda with the speed limit on Moss Lake. That would be fine.
We've had one person killed on Moss Lake since I've been here.
Yep.
I'm sure you've looked at it, but just to let us know, why can't they use the snowmobile trails, the railroad trails?
A lot of times,
existing trails.
Yeah, a lot of times you might have wetland crossings, lake crossings. I do think that the ATV club would like to use as many as the off-road trails as possible. You know, but that's...
How many clubs are involved in this?
Well, it's a Lakeland ATV Club is the one who's representing the trails opening in Lac du Flambeau. Yes?
I'm a little behind, so bear with me on this, but why are they not trails? Snowmobiles, by and large, operate on trails. They don't operate on roads. That's my concern. ATVs on roads. Why can't we have trails for ATVs?
I'm sure they're working on that. And actually, the snowmobiles are allowed on town roads. We have a snowmobile ordinance, route ordinance, where roads are open to snowmobiles.
Certain roads.
And there's also a state law that allows you to run a town road from your home to the nearest snowmobile trail. So, yeah, snowmobiles are...
A lot of them, though.
No.
In 50 years, I've not seen very many on the roads. They have a lot of trails.
And
a lot of those trails cross, as Matt was saying, a lot of those trails cross lakes and they cross streams. And of course, you know, during the summer when they aren't frozen, you can't have ATVs going on those trails.
And I think they're working on that. You know, it's the same with snowmobiling. Before they had snowmobile clubs and trails, boy, they rode wherever they wanted to go, and they did. That's where I got in trouble.
That's why we're hoping that having an established trail system will actually keep people more legal than obviously they are now, where they're just kind of going everywhere because there aren't any established trails for ATVs.
Yeah, and getting
so
back,
we're hoping this will actually help.
Yeah, and getting back to the comment about the person, people that are abusing it right now, there is a faction here there are members of this Lac du Flambeau band, they're exempt, so there's nothing to stop them from running on a road because their ordinance doesn't control that. One of the intents here is once you give people a place to go, hopefully they're not going to be going back and forth. I kind of have noticed I'm part of a club, I don't have an ATV. I noticed that the people that seem to go on trips and routes, they seem to be more mature people. I don't think if we're ever going to be able to eliminate a couple of neighbor kids or some young people, no matter what it is, whether it's a golf cart or a riding lawnmower, is sometimes people, little mopeds, they can get kind of irritating. I live in a confined area on a pretty wealthy part of town here, and I might have 30-some different people. A lot of them are walking, but boy, I sure get a lot of them with some unusual vehicles, and they keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm just saying is I think the intent of this whole thing, this whole ordinance and the ability for the club, is they don't want you going back and forth. They want you to find a destination and go there and be safe about it. And if we notice that that isn't what the trend is, then we're going to have to make some adjustments. And I really hope that everybody is able to understand is we are the elected officials. This doesn't always have to come back to the people. We are. If we see that there's a problem going on here, we're going to solve it one way or the other because we don't want it to be harmful or we don't want to be a detriment to the community. We want a positive effect. We have more law enforcement here now than we've ever had. I think we have 17 law officers just in the tribal police alone.
There's even, the county has just recently designated in the sheriff's department a dedicated recreation officer who will be throughout the county on a random basis, so you won't know when he's going to be here or when he's not. He will be patrolling our route. A copy of this gets sent to the sheriff's department, so they're well aware of our trail, where the trails are. And that recreation officer will be on our trails throughout the summer.
Chris just brought something up. Excuse me, Bill.
No, there's no excuse for you, Chuck.
About the tribe is exempt.
They have their own ATV ordinance.
Right.
They have had for several years.
What if a tribal member violates this? Do they have to adhere to this if they're on town roads?
Yes, they're on a town road.
If it's on a town road, if it's part of the town roads, they have to follow the law just like everybody else. Just like speeding.
But I
mean,
think
if they're speeding on a town road, they're and they get caught.
But I think there is an issue with registration. I don't believe they have to register the vehicle, and they will not, as long as they stay within the boundaries of the reservation, they won't need the, the license and stuff. But there is some differences there, and I think it's really important that we understand that, is...
Yeah, they have their own ATV ordinance that allows them for the tribal members.
And they have had for a number of years.
Yeah.
And they're meant to be able to use that for their hunting and gathering. There's no...
There's no routes or trails. It's just that they can use them.
But I guess, getting back to my question, as I understand the answer, if a tribal member should violate part of this ordinance, this town ordinance, they would be...
Yep.
Whatever.
They will go, that will be dealt with outside of the tribal...
I'm not sure how their court system it works with...
Harold can answer.
Yeah, Harold might know. I don't know how the court system handles things between the county circuit court and the tribal courts. And that's not my forte. Harold?
Well, last time I was operating a board of people of any kind, it involved a state or a county or a town road. I got a ticket from the police officer that was there that spotted it, and I had to go to the appropriate court to do that. And there is no difference when it comes to laws, really. You know, ever since I was a child, I've been putting my hand over my heart, pledging allegiance to the United States of America and all that it stands for. And that comes as a consequence of being an American citizen, which I hope that everybody in this room is an American citizen and they understand what they pledged allegiance to. You pledged allegiance to follow the laws of the land. And to make a difference and say that this brown or this purple or this red or this green or this other person who is other than Caucasian has some other exemption is simply, put it nicely, B and S, you know, and it just serves to divide people. And I would expect more of my fellow citizens, and I would certainly expect a higher bar from the elected officials that I voted for to bear that out and to point that out from time to time.
Good point.
Thank you.
There's a question here.
Hi. I will tell you that I'm a little bit biased. My best friend's 8-year-old granddaughter was killed on an ATV. And the tragedy of that is, you know, it's still felt. But what worries me is County Road F, because you all have traveled it. It's twisty, turny, up and down. Are the riders there required to have some kind of a flag so that they're visible as you round a turn or go up or down a hill? Because you can be coming, you know, at the bottom of a hill and somebody can be coming up and you can't see them until you're 5 feet away. Having some kind of a tall pole with a bright green flag would certainly help us see them as drivers. Are you following me?
Yeah.
That road is terrifying. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say terrifying, but hazardous to an ATV driver and to a motor vehicle driver, clearly.
I guess I'm not aware of any requirement for that. I know, like, the state has a requirement for registration and license plates and numbers, but I'm not, it's the same with bicycles that, you know, they drive that road constantly and they don't have a flag either.
Oh,
I know. In some cases, the bicycles are going to be going much faster than the ATVs will.
Not making as much noise, but yeah.
Well, the noise may help in that case. You might hear them before you see them and realize
that's
that.
True.
Look at both sides.
So nothing that you know of, but you do know that the county has to approve this.
Correct.
If you choose to
Correct.
Approve it.
Jim.
Getting back to enforcement, we pushed the 2014 version of this ordinance. The big selling point is we're getting, you know, club's going to monitor it, police are going to monitor it, we'll be checking with the county for numbers of complaints and stuff like that. How many complaints did we get in 2014?
None.
That's not true. I placed one myself.
Well, we didn't have any routes open.
You passed an ordinance.
But we didn't have any routes open.
There were no marked
trails. There were no marked trails.
And there was
so if you had a complaint, then it was somebody who was riding illegally.
Well, absolutely. That's my point.
Yeah, see, but we didn't have any routes, so.
What difference does it make?
We didn't monitor last year because we didn't have a trail system.
We didn't have a trail system.
We weren't tracking any numbers for anything last year because we didn't have a legitimate marked out trail system with patrolling going on.
They were never legally opened or authorized.
Then
we had an ordinance, but they weren't.
Checking complaints ought to be something you do before you would pass an ordinance. I had to call here to find out the particular road was Indian Village Road.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if it was tribal road or town road. Nancy couldn't tell me, Terry couldn't. They finally looked it up on map and said it is a town
mm-hmm.
road. So then I called the county and that place to complain.
Okay.
But when I got Nancy's conversation, she said she saw an ATV on the sidewalk.
Sure.
Right out in front here.
But it could very well have been a tribal member and they would have been legal.
On this
yes.
sidewalk, on this piece of property.
They run through here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the village property? Is this tribal property?
This is owned by the town.
Okay, so then it's illegal.
It's within the boundaries of the reservation, so if
but if they were on Indian Village Road, they were legal. If it was a tribal member.
Why is it? It's a town road. I was told it was a town road.
They run those and they may be running illegally. They may not be. I don't know, you know, and it depends on where you saw them, but we didn't have any routes open. So we wouldn't have had any complaints based on our ordinance.
So if there's no ordinance, they can ride and there's no way of checking that. I don't understand.
Well, you can call the sheriff's department. If they go look for them and catch them and find that they're riding illegally, they can cite them.
When they had the snowmobile races on the Lake on Flambeau this
mm-hmm.
winter, I happened to be in town for a newspaper, and an ATV went from the Virginia Market out on 47 and down to the snowmobile races.
Mm-hmm.
There was at least two tribal cars there, and I found out that there was a report placed. So how are you going to monitor? You know, I think Ginger said in the newspaper article, they're going to put a lot of enforcement on this.
They'll be watching our routes.
It doesn't. So far, it hasn't indicated that.
But to bring that this to sort of a like a higher note is to hold this against a club that isn't even established or hasn't even put a trail map up to say that we're not going to do it because somebody's doing something when they're not even here. They're not even they haven't even committed yet with putting signs up or having an actual route or it is a route. It's not a trail. Have the route designated. To have activity going on now, that obviously isn't a club member or isn't part of it. And that probably will go on even after this point. So I'm just saying is you can't hold that against the club or this ordinance because obviously whoever was doing it, whether they felt they were right by doing it or not, is I don't know how we could hold it up because of an incident where somebody else had violated the law.
And then the second point to talk about as far as liability. I know on March 31st, there was a county supervisor, and he said in the newspaper, while I understand state statutes exempt us from liability, should there be an accident, such and such and such, well, that piqued my interest, and I spent 3 weeks trying to find out where it says in state statutes that the counties are exempt from liability. Because DNR makes up the rules, right? They have the whole document on ATV rules. And
no,
I ended up going to Mr. Eddie at the state who writes the rules, and he told me that there's no state exemption on liability for counties. Now, this is a WTA, Wisconsin Towns Association article I found online, if I can read this. While the mechanics of being potentially liable are the same, whether you have ATV and possible UTV routes, it could be argued that your potential for exposure is greater if you do such and such. These are inherently more dangerous than regular cars. And it says that towns are still potentially liable.
Well, anybody can sue us for anything, Jim.
So are we covered?
Yeah.
Of course we're covered.
We're covered, and that's
why
you, that's why you have signs out there, you have speed limits to limit your liability. We have liability if you walk out of your slip on the carpet on the steps there and hit your head. We're liable for that.
Yeah, I understand that. you're allowing people that are 12 years old to go out on a town road, and they probably don't even have to carry proof of insurance, right, on an ATV?
I don't know.
Probably registration, but no liability, no insurance proof, which you do if you drive a car. It just boggles my mind.
But I think it would be a tremendous test case if, whether it be a snowmobile or an ATV, if there were to be a lawsuit where the town was singled out as the individual responsible party, that would be a tremendous test case. It would be something that would be very notable, whether it be the town or the county. Who would be responsible, and I think the club would be involved at that point too. So by passing this ordinance doesn't mean that we take the full responsibility, because there's a certain amount of the big responsibility is on actual club as far as signage, and making sure that all, and then we have a trail coordinator, his name is Dale Mayo, and he's the one who follows up and documents everything and okays everything before the trails are able to be used. So I think as far as the liabilities, I think we're covered, because we're following what the requirements are. The club will be following what the requirements are. If there was some, say, malice issue where somebody destroyed or stole the sign, which caused a situation, that can happen anytime. And I'm not certain that we're responsible unless it's ignored for a lengthy period of time. So I'm just saying, if the town of Lac des Flambeaux were named in a lawsuit, that would be quite a precedence to be set. For all,
it would end all your snowmobiling, all your bicycling, all your walking, everything.
Yeah, liability.
Yeah,
for anybody.
And the ATV club has it also.
Correct.
Yes.
Again, there's a difference between liability and driving on trails and driving on our roads. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. There's no requirement for insurance on an ATV, which means if I hit one or they hit me, who's going to pay for it? I'm going to come after you, because they don't have insurance. They're not required to have insurance to drive those things. I mean, all the rest of the cars on the road have to have insurance. That's where the biggest liability comes in. But I have a question about the logistics, and it's the statutes require that ATVs, heels to cars. How does that work? They're driving along, they've got 20 cars behind them, they're supposed to heel. How do they do that without shoulders and without
I think it would be referred to the same as whether it was a farm tractor or other issues, any type of an implement, whether it be the town or the county that's running something down the road that doesn't go the speed limit, you would find the nearest next spot that's safe and secure. So you would slow the traffic down until you found a safe, adequate spot, and your group would pull over then and allow traffic to flow. I grew up milking cows. I've drove farm equipment legally since I was 14 years old, because I went and took a course that allowed me to do that. It's kind of similar, but yet it's different. That I used as a work placement thing for school. I would have to say is that's how we were taught, as far as you find a secure spot, pull over, and then you allow the traffic to flow.
The reason I ask that is because in Lincoln County, you're not allowed to drive on the shoulder.
Here, where do you go? We're not allowed here either.
Yeah, it'll be on
but
pavement.
But you can get off on the shoulder to let traffic go by.
Correct.
You just can't ride on it.
That's what I do.
Peg?
Matt, are ATV drivers required to take a course before they buy the state?
Yes.
Yes.
So they
Same as boat safety, is the same as snowmobile safety, same as hunter safety.
Thank you.
Is there an age limit?
12.
Or a minimum age?
I think it's 12, isn't it?
12.
12. 12 with an adult, 18 without. Yes.
Is there currently a state statute that allows property owners to drive to the nearest ATV trail?
No.
No.
It took, what, about 10 years before that?
It took 20 years before the state
for snowmobiles, so I'm sure it'll come, but it's not here yet.
I have a question regarding the enforcement. Who is going to be the primary responder to a 911 call regarding someone driving recklessly?
Well, that would be handled by Vilas County. Your 911 call goes to the Vilas County Dispatch in Eagle River. And how the sheriff's department is set up to dispatch officers, be it county, tribal police, or state, or DNR, is up to them. They dispatch that.
Based on their availability.
Based on their availability.
Priority.
Yep.
So there's a possibility that it's kind of a low priority, in my opinion, if you call it, it wouldn't be.
Not necessarily. If they have somebody in the area, they're going to send them right away.
Okay, because they have done it before in a previous call. My other question is, I live on Tippecanoe, and my neighbor across the road from me and I are both less than 150 yards, or 150 feet of a dwelling. So that means they have to go past our home at 10 miles an hour.
They'll have to slow down according to the ordinance.
How is that ever going to be enforced?
It'll be signed, and then if.
There will be signage.
If the clubs are required to sign it in accordance with the ordinance and with the state laws.
All right, thank you.
Well.
Man?
Yeah.
Just two more, and I'm going to climb up. First of all.
Right.
We're going to hold you to it.
I got two tickets left. Just an observation. Do I understand it right that, let's just hypothetically say, they want to open up D from H to 47.
Mm-hmm.
Since D is a county highway, the town wouldn't have anything to say about that?
That would be the county. However, I think they go through their highway committee and then something else, and then it goes on to the full county board.
Okay. That was one of the stopping blocks last year, because
yep.
mm-hmm. the county board did not approve the use of D.
And the last thing is there a time limit? I mean, like water skiing or something, they can't ride them before such and such and
mm-hmm.
6 in the morning mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. after dusk or something like that?
No, as long as they're legally have headlight and taillight.
So it's like a snowmobile.
Like a snowmobile.
No different than a snowmobile.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm zippering.
Okay.
Sure.
We've heard comments.
Still has two tickets.
We've heard comments. I guess it's up to the board if they would like to waive the first reading of the ordinance and then place it on the agenda again for our next meeting for the second reading.
Before we make a motion, I would want to make sure that we have copies of this available for the public.
Does everybody have a copy of this?
I had quite a few on the table.
Okay. We had them on the table. Okay, great.
I have a question about that. That ordinance in the state statute 23.33, that you're supposed to include the roads in the ordinance. I don't see any roads written in the ordinance as to allowing.
What statute are you referring to?
Just off the World WTA document. It says it's been true for some time now that ATVs operate on public highways. The government body must first pass an ordinance for 23.33, paragraph 8, designating highways or portions as ATV routes.
Yes.
I mean, that has to be included in the ordinance.
And we refer to it by the map that is in the clerk's office. Yes, it will. It does now for the last one that we didn't ever really use, and it will be updated with the new ordinance number on it.
So it's currently not part of the ordinance?
The map
sure
is.
It will be as soon as it's passed.
It hasn't been officially passed yet. But the ordinance refers to the official route map that is posted in the clerk's office.
But does that map have the routes on it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's
identified as relating to this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It has the road names, the distances, and their locations. It's our actually it's a copy of our official DOT map that they give to us for the town.
Can that be attached to the ordinance?
100%.
Sure.
Sure.
I think that would be a good idea. For any clubs or anything, for information?
Just for information, they should have it too. Harold, one more?
Yeah. the final outcome of this reading, is there going to be inclusive in there the details on the actual route, road by road, that they're going to be allowed to travel on in this ordinance? Or is it just going to be, we're just supposed to remember it? you know, per this reading.
Well, because it doesn't include all of some roads.
The map is more effective.
We're referring to the map because it's more effective. It shows you an actual location.
Well, you know, I have to differ with that kind of approach.
I can probably handle it.
So I had to take at my own cost a surveyor to come and survey the land and put the markings up, posts and everything else to notify where my property is at so that I can properly pay my taxes to the town here. You know, I'm responsible for that because I'm a user and a property owner and a taxpayer in the town. You know, so if you're asking for an exception to the town rules and creating a new exception, then I think that it's incumbent upon the town at their own cost or at the ATV's cost to outline and do that strategically and say that this is, there are so many feet of this road by name that it can be operated on. And I also feel like, just like the snowmobile clubs do at their own cost, to put up and bear the cost and burden of whatever damage they may do to that road. If there is probably some damage, we don't know that, but if there should occur, then they should have liability for that. And they should also have liability for the posting and replacement of the route signs. I mean, the town posts on town roads, and if there's a speed limit, like say you got a speed limit out here for slowing down for coming to the school, most of that's done by the state, you know?
There.
And on the town roads, when you post up just a sign that says what road it's on,
yep,
and somebody comes and knocks it down, either you have a witness that says so-and-so knocked it down, they got to replace it, or ultimately, the indemnified party is the one who has to put it up. If the town has its homicide down, then the town has to bear the burden. Mm-hmm. That means us taxpayers have to keep bear the burden of replacing that sign. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
And they have liability insurance. They wouldn't be able to be a club without it. But getting back to attaching the actual map, this map may be changed.
Yeah,
and here's the issue, is the ordinance...
That has to be included, written and included in the ordinance that says the liability is borne by this club, period. It can't be an ambiguous issue.
The ordinance is separate from the actual route. What the ordinance is saying is we're allowing it, which it has already been passed one time, is approving the map. We may have a problem on Highway F. We may have a problem somewhere, so we're not going to go and redo the ordinance. I'm just saying is the ordinance and the actual route design are two different documents. That's why we didn't handle them both on the same day.
See, we can attach a map, make sure that people know where they are. That's no problem. As for the signage, that's a responsibility of the club. They have to have it signed, it has to be marked, it's checked by Dale Mayo from the county to make sure it's in accordance with state regulations and rules that they have to do. And while it's coming up later on here in the agenda, as for road supervisor, believe me, I'll be watching where these routes are, and if there's damage to that road, something's going to be done, because we're not going to have something damaging our town roads. They're meant for the car traffic, and it gets very expensive to repair things. I know that firsthand.
And from past experience of talking with other counties that have highway commissioners, they never noticed any impact, very minimal impact, from the ATV use. Mm-hmm. Very minimal. There was so little issue that it wasn't even worth noting.
Okay, Peg.
Matt, if the routes are not indicated in the ordinance, how are you going to govern those routes?
They are indicated in the ordinance based on the map that we have here in the office, and
okay,
that we can attach a small copy to. And those routes, those roads also have to be signed at physically ATV route. They have to, at the start and finish, whichever
okay,
direction
so you
you're coming from.
Indicating the route.
Correct.
In the ordinance.
And I'm assuming, Darwin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the club will create a map like the snowmobile clubs do, and there'll be advertising for different places you can go, and, that those will be available to the users as well.
Right.
See, Peg, the problem now, it's been discouraged in the past to include lists of anything in an ordinance, because if the list is to change and say you have gotten a copy of this ordinance and it has the map or it has a list, and 5 years elapse and you haven't come in to get a new copy, but the list has changed and the map has changed.
But then
you're giving
the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. We've changed the ordinance, but what I'm saying is that you, Peg, have not come in to get a new copy. So you're giving this to friends and guests, to assuming that it's still valid, and it's not.
Yes.
So you run a risk when you're putting lists of things. People have to assume a certain responsibility themselves for making themselves aware of where.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And the law enforcement people will be well aware of where these routes are. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. What is your pleasure?
I'll make a motion to waive the first reading.
I'll second it.
Motion been made and seconded to waive the first reading of ordinance number 15-01, all-terrain vehicle, ATV and UTV, utility terrain vehicle route ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, everyone, for your comments. We appreciate it.
Believe me, they stick in our heads, and we keep track in mind of that.
Well, thank you for taking the time to.
I'll give you time to talk.
Put up with this.
Discussion action: appoint chairman as road supervisor. As we've done in the past, we've taken action to appoint the chairman or whoever. As road supervisor, it was 2 years ago that we did that the last time, and this part of my job will be watching the roads for the ATVs.
For damage.
Or
make a motion to appoint Chairman Galky to be the road supervisor.
I'll second that motion.
That's not an audience.
It's a discussion.
Discussion,
well, discussion
the
among
board.
The board.
It's not public discussion.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Discussion action appoint Chris Meyer as fire department liaison. I put this on there. I have been the fire department liaison for the past 28 years for the board, and Mr. Meyer is a member of the department, so I thought it might be a good idea that he become the board's liaison to the fire department. You may think there might be some type of conflict of interest. I really don't think so, and I'm talking you into this. You see this coming, don't you? We have many chairmen in the area, Frank Bauer in Arborvitae, Mike Timmons in Woodruff, who are the town chairman and the fire chiefs. I just think it would make things, at least he may know and hear more about things at the fire department than I do.
Well, I mean, and I thought about the conflict issue, and it does concern me. At this point, it'd be hard for me to step down as the assistant chief to take the position.
No, but, I don't think you'd have
to. I'd rather have you as assistant chief,
yeah.
Believe me.
I would have to say, though, is the transparency. I guess through all the years of being on the fire department, and I'm not like a dinosaur yet, but I've really only seen one town representative actually even come to our fire department, and that's been Mr. Galky. But I would have to say, whether you appoint me as liaison or not, I'm going to communicate what's going on over at the fire station.
And I guess if there's ever a situation that arises that, you know, you didn't feel comfortable dealing with it and you wanted me to come and do that, I have no problem with it.
With that being said, I'll be okay.
Okay, then we...
I'll make a motion to appoint Chris Meyer as fire department liaison.
I'll second that. Motion been made and seconded to appoint Chris as fire department liaison. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
don't know if I'm supposed to vote on that or not.
Review for approval bartender's license applications for Autumn Coupart, Deborah Devine, Mary Mitchell, Wallace Sulier, June LaBarge, Dana Allen, and Candace Molson. We have them here. I didn't see any that had any problems.
Make a motion to approve all named liquor license applicants for the license part.
I'll second your motion.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Need a motion to adjourn at 2:50.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Or 1:50, excuse me.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. I can't tell time.
So this,